welcoming remarks, we will have session of prayer and praise, and trust the Lord for a word of ministry. The scripture that I would like us to consider, 2 Chronicles chapter 5. So all the work that Solomon had done for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in the things which his father David had dedicated, the silver and the gold and all the furnishings. And he put them in the treasuries of the house of God. Now Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief fathers of the children of Israel in Jerusalem, that they might bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord up from the city of David, which is Zion. Therefore all the men of Israel assembled with the king at the feast, which was in the seventh month. So all the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the ark. Then they brought up the ark, the tabernacle of meeting, and all the holy furnishings that were in the tabernacle. The priests and the Levites brought them up. So King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who were assembled with him before the ark were sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be counted or numbered for multitude. Then the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord to its place, into the inner sanctuary of the temple, to the most holy place, under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread their wings over the place of the ark. The cherubim overshadowed the ark and its poles. The poles extended so that the ends of the poles of the ark could not be seen from the holy place, in front of the inner sanctuary. But they could not be seen from outside, and they were there to this day. Nothing was in the ark except the two tables which Moses put there at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel, when they had come out of Egypt. It came to pass, when the priests came out of the most holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves, without keeping to their divisions. And the Levites, who were the singers, and all of Asaph, and Heman, and Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps, and with them 120 priests, sounding with trumpets. Indeed, it came to pass, when the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one song to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever," that the house of the Lord, was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. This evening, beloved, I stand on behalf of the trustees of Siloam Bible Camp, Brother Lennox Hamilton, Brother Errol Luke, Brother Jeffrey Fraser, Brother Luke Fabergé. I stand embracing the brothers in a steering committee who came together to organize and to ensure that the conference would be held smoothly. Brother Dublin, Brother Lyndon Hector, Brother Lennox Hamilton, Brother Errol Luke, Brother Jeffrey Fraser, and yours truly. With us, there were many, many sisters and brothers, young and old, who have volunteered their help in their areas of expertise. And over the past year and a half or 2 years, have not stopped working to make this a reality. Just under 2 years ago, around 2 years, we met in the whole building of this hall. And before us was Solomon's expression that he wanted to build a house for his God that was magnificent. A building that was worthy of his God. A building that would be a testimony of how well they thought and he thought of his God. We recognize that when Solomon expressed the thought that he was going to build a structure that was magnificent, Solomon had the privilege that the materials for that temple was laid up by David. The gold, the wood, the silver, the stones were all laid up. David desired to build, and God said, "You shall not build." We desired to renovate Siloam Bible Camp to host this conference. We were not as fortunate as Solomon was. But we had a confidence in Solomon's God. We had an idea. We had a commitment. And we said, we will trust the Lord to get this work done. We will trust the Lord to exercise the hearts of his people. And we will commit ourselves. We will commit ourselves to get the work done. Tonight, I am overwhelmed with joy that the saints of Guyana, sisters and brothers, have given of themselves, have given of their resources. Saints abroad, brethren in Germany, brethren in England, brethren in the States, in Canada, in the Caribbean area. When we sent out our letter stating we would like to renovate Siloam, it's not big enough, the buildings need to be upgraded. I think in under a month after the letter was sent to our brethren, the brethren in Germany responded, "Use this for your building project." How good is the God we adore? The Lord has brought us to many situations where we had to trust him and no one else. Beloved, tonight, our desire is to give God the glory. Solomon came on this day and he said, "The building is completed." The purpose of the building was not a showcase or a show off. The building was going to be magnificent because the Ark of God was going to be there. The God of glory was going to be there. And when the Ark was brought in, and the Shekinah filled that holy place, the priest stepped out. And tonight, none of us would desire to stand where the Spirit of God say, let God get the glory. We rejoice this evening that the Lord has done great things for us, for which we are glad. Our desire that we express was that this place will be used as the original intent of Siloam Bible Camp, that the gospel might be sent forth in evangelism, that young people would be built up in the most holy faith, that as a result of these efforts, the assemblies in Guyana will be built up. We covet and solicit your prayer and support towards that end. We have experienced difficult times, but one believes that the best is still to come. Brethren, welcome. Join with us to extol the name of our God. Let's thank God for the facility. Let's thank God in advance of what He will do in these days of conference. Let's trust Him that our needs and our desires that our assemblies be strengthened might be realized, the seed might be sown. We have expressed over these past several weeks the prophetic word to each of us. Let's break up the fallow ground. We want to be real for our God. Brethren, may the Lord grant to us all a wonderful time of conference, that we all would be built up and encouraged, that when you return, not only you will go back with the hospitality of Guyana, but you will take with you the warmth of the fellowship of the saints of Guyana and the blessings that we trust the Lord we will all receive at 2008 Caribbean Workers Conference. May the Lord bless us richly. Thank you.
Just turn with me briefly, please, to the book of Exodus. And chapter 8, Exodus chapter 8, and we want to read verse 23. I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. And the Lord did so, and there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh. Verse 25. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not suitable so to do. For we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes? And will they not stone us? Verse 27, we will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you shall not go very far away. Entreat for me. I want to come to chapter 10. And verse 11, we read first of all from verse 8. Chapter 10, verse 8, Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, Go serve the Lord your God, but who are they that shall go? And Moses said, We will go with our young, with our old, with our sons, with our daughters, with our flocks, with our herds will we go. For we must hold a feast unto the Lord. The burden on my heart this evening as we think of the fact of this opening of the Caribbean Christian Workers Conference for the first time in Guyana is that we live in a day when the enemy is seeking to sell us short. And there's a world out there serving the enemy of our souls, doing their own thing. And they are very passionate about it. But God is calling to us, his people, that we too be very passionate about serving him. Look what the Lord has done in terms of the efforts to build. And God has brought so many of his people together. He is speaking to us. He is saying to us, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And he wants each one of us to come on board for his honor and his glory. God wants a testimony in this world to his son. And the testimony to his son is going to be attacked by the enemy of our souls. Pharaoh says to Moses, and he says to the children of Israel, you shall not go very far away. He says, look, you that are men, go and serve God. Leave the others with me. Every tactic in the book, the devil is seeking to use in order to draw us away from God's purpose. But God is saying today, this evening, to you, and he's saying to me, that he wants every one of us to come on board. He wants each one of his children to do what we can, to do our best, and to do it for his glory. It is so important what Moses says in chapter 10 and verse 9. We read the other verses, but I'm focusing on verse 9 as a challenge to us in this room this evening. Every one of us, male and female, old and young. Moses said in verse 9, we will go. I just want to pause right there. First, we will go. The desire of Moses' heart was to follow the Lord. The desire of his heart was to give to God the glory. And Moses says, we will go. This is the first thing. Every one of us must determine in our own heart that we will go. God wants people who are going to move for him, who are going to follow the blessed Holy Spirit, the man bearing the pitcher of water. We will go. That is the call tonight in Guyana from the Lord. To you. To me. I should have started with me. But the important thing is this. We will go with our young. Many times I look through our audiences, even in Barbados, and you see parents who bring their children to the meeting, but they have not really prepared the children for the meeting. How do I know this? It is very simple. The children come, and they're very slack about their listening and so on. They don't bring a notebook. They don't bring a pen. They don't bring a Bible. They just come to lie down and sleep. Maybe they bring a coloring book. Moses is saying, we will go with our young. We need to take our children with us. Our children need to learn what it is, and we are responsible to teach them. When you come to the meeting, you sit, you pay attention, you speak softly if you have to speak. We're in the presence of God, and we're not going to slouch about. We're going to sit upright. We're going to look the preacher in the eye, and we're going to listen to what God is saying to his people. It is very important. We will go with our young. But first, we will go. Secondly, with our young. Listen, if we don't catch our young people, our whole company is going to go. Because our generation is passing. As young as I am, I'm conscious that my generation is passing. Our generation is passing. And God has his eye on the little ones. It must begin with them. I thank God for opportunities to go to schools and with a Bible in my hand, tell them about the love of God, about repentance, about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, about living a life of uprightness and integrity. And God is saying to us this evening that he wants us to be like Moses. We will go with our young, with our old. God has his eye on those older brethren who are mature, who can carry on for him by their experience. They can advise, they can point the way, they can really be a fatherly force amongst the people of God. And so Moses would say, we will go with our young, with our old, with our sons. God wants those young people who are more mature to stand for him and to press on for his glory. We thank God for this opportunity and this conference. We thank God for these occasions where brethren who are like-minded can come together and press on in the work of the Lord. May the Lord really encourage each one of us to do our best for him, to walk humbly with him. God is looking for little men and little women who think nothing of themselves to use them for his glory. Samson had a jawbone. Rahab had a strength. And so on. But God was the one who used them. And God is looking for us to use us for his glory. But we have to begin with ourselves. We have to continue with our young ones. We have to look to our sons. We want daughters who are mature, who are polished like the likeness of a palace, as that psalm would declare. God is looking for us to press on together in prayer by using the word of God and following the word of God, by living lives of integrity, lives of testimony to others around us, because there are those who never read the Bible, but they read your life and mine. What is my life really saying to others as I stand for him? God wants me to do this. But we will go with our flocks and our herds. The smaller offerings, the larger offerings. God wants our worship. I believe many times when we come together, we need more to really open our mouths and thank God. This is not a criticism. But to thank God and to praise him, and to speak of him, and to speak of the Lord Jesus in the ears of his Father. God wants me to give to him my personal expressions of worship, thanksgiving, and praise out of a heart that has been filled with what God has first of all given to me. And God is saying to us, we must hold a feast unto the Lord. God wants us that there be a rich harvest for His glory as we spend time around the person of His Son, enjoying Him, worshiping Him, giving thanks to His name, and living for His glory, and bringing our children and our people along. May God help us that we appreciate this particular thing, making the Lord Jesus our one object, but bringing along our families, fellow believers, the saints, for the glory of God, for His name's sake. Amen.
Say good night to all. Could we read in the book of Romans and chapter 9 and verse 14? What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For He said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that will it, nor of him that run it, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I may show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore, hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who had resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that replies against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that hath formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? The verses that were read in the book of Exodus is seeing the exercise of a man whom God had taught his purposes, his will. He had come to that history in his life. We know, brethren, there are 40 years of Moses' life. And most of us at times believe, and most of us will say, in light of the present day society, that when you reach 70, you are washed up. You are called grandpa and slow. And some of us, when we are driving behind you, are saying, why are you going so slow? And many things, but God don't think like man. And the way God moves, and the way God acts, and the way God demonstrates things is not according to man thinking. And what is very striking is after 80 years, God picked up this man and decided, listen, now you are ready to be used for me. Now you have unlearned all that you have learned in the University of Cairo, in the University of Egypt. Now what I'm going to do, I'm going to show this world what God's, when you're in the schoolhouse of God, what God is going to do. I am going to go with our wives, our children, and our substance, and we are going to serve the Lord. Brethren, in Exodus, many things were not opened up for us. But one thing we will have to say, there are many devices in the hearts of men, but the counsels of God that shall stand. You cannot stop the counsels of God. This is something Pharaoh had to learn. God came down, you know, and God said to Moses, listen, I've seen the tears. I know the sorrows. And I have come down to deliver you and to bring you into a land, a large land, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land indeed where God had provided for his people. And what do you think happened? Pharaoh decided, indeed, I am going to stop, indeed, and frustrate the counsels of God. God says it will never work. It will never stand. Because what God purposes, what God purposed will come to pass. And what is wonderful, when we realize the good pleasure of his will in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to say, brethren, all we can do is step aside and say, thy will be done. It came to a point when Moses came to Pharaoh and said to Pharaoh, the Lord said, you know what Pharaoh said? Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? Huh? Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? Hey, son, listen, the danger, brethren, I tell you, it's frightening today. Very frightening. You will bring scripture to people, you know, some in fellowship. Let's not talk about the systems and outside of the world. We are talking about people in fellowship who claims to know the Lord. You bring the scriptures, it says, that's how you see it. That's how you see it. The word of God has lost its authority. Well, God says, I'm going to show. I've raised up Pharaoh to let Pharaoh know that God still is here. That God is still in charge. That God still runs things. And Pharaoh decided, well, listen here, I'm going to stop you. I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to. Indeed, God's purposes is not going to be fulfilled. Well, God says in the book of Romans, as we know, the book of Romans, chapter 9 is Israel past. Chapter 10 is Israel present. And chapter 11 is Israel future. So we are going to look back in the past a little. As we look back in the past, brethren, I tell you, I have had happy years amongst the brethren. Happy years. I look back at my early years amongst us. Wonderful. Fellowship. Seeing so happy. Very, very happy. And oh, I tell you, I enjoyed. I felt I came to a wonderful family. I met wonderful Christians. I met people who cared for me. Real Christian care. And I felt I had a home. And I felt everybody's home in the assembly was mine. I could have gone by Watson. I could go by Larry. I could go here. I go there. People came to my home. It was wonderful times. Saints, God change? Is God changed? No. God is not changed. God remains the same. Is the truth of Scripture changed? No, it's the same. Is the brethren change? I'm not answering that. But brethren, let us take it on a higher plane. In the book of Romans, God turned Moses' eyes not to, turned Paul's eyes not to Moses. Yes, God says, I said to Moses, I'm going to have mercy on whom I am going to have mercy. But God turned his eyes upon him and said, listen, I am the potter. They are the clay. I form. I do a work. I prepare the vessel. And I raise up Pharaoh to let Pharaoh know that I am in charge. In spite of how Pharaoh's army was and how big and bad he was and how tough talk he gave before God. God says, I'm going to send a message to this world as they read the scriptures that God is still in charge in spite of the counsels of men. God remains in charge. And I tell you, it's very comforting to me. You cannot frustrate the purposes of God. Cannot frustrate the purposes of God. And God says this, you know. God says this. Hear what he says about Pharaoh. For the scripture said unto Pharaoh, even for this purpose have I raised thee up. The first time I read that and it gripped my heart, it sent a chill through me. What is the purpose God has raised you up for? Not Pharaoh. What is the purpose God has raised you up for? What is your purpose for being where you are? What is the purpose God has brought you in? I tell you, it's sobering. God says, I have raised up Pharaoh for this purpose, to show my power in him and let him know, indeed, I am in charge. But I wonder what God has raised me up for. What is his purpose in your life and mine? What is my purpose? Indeed, God has brought me amongst the brethren. Why? You ask yourself, why? You could go to God and ask him. He's God. He is approachable. We have access unto him. Come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The apostle Paul said it, you know. I thought my purpose was indeed to listen, to bring down the name of the Lord Jesus. But he turned to King Agrippa and said, King Agrippa, I wish you would be as I am, except these chains. Why? He found his purpose. And he says, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Indeed, why? The apostle Paul realized his purpose here was to be a vessel, God tell him, to be a vessel to, I'm going to show you, you are going to be a vessel indeed for me, and you shall suffer many things for my name's sake. If God tell you that, what would you say? Imagine God raised up a man called Jeremiah. And God discouraged him before he even started. God said to him, listen, I'm going to let you know. I'm going to send you to a set of people. Your own people. And they're not going to listen to what you have to say, you know. You could imagine God telling him that. We would encourage him and say, you know, you're going to meet some people. You know, some will like you, some will like you. But some wouldn't like you at all. But God said to him, they are not going to listen to you. But God prepared him with two things. God gave him a vision. An almond tree, you see? Budding. See what you see? You see an almond tree. Then God showed him a pot boiling. What it is? Listen here. The real rendering is this. God is going to watch over his word that it will be accomplished. Saints, you see this book? People believe God takes this lightly. But when a man obey, a sister, a brother, obey God's word, God is going to stand for you. But the moment you decide, this book, that's what they say. That some among the meetings speak that way. That's what they say. Well, listen, God says, I am going to show that I'm going to honor this word and magnify this word above my name. The man was discouraged. When you read the book of this Jeremiah, it came to a point. They despised his word. They rejected his word. It came to a point where the head of the nation took the scroll, cut it up with a penknife, threw it in a fire. Indeed, listen, you know what he did? When he threw God's word in the fire, he threw his crown and his kingdom also. Indeed, he decided, throwing it in a fire, despising God's word. God's word came rising back up out of the fire because God says, my counsels will stand. My counsels will stand. God is real. It's a real God we serve. The God of the Bible is real. And we need to come back home to this and realize he's the potter and we are the clay. God could do with us as we please. As we please. And some of us believe we are the potter and God is the clay. We want to fashion God the way we want him to. Well, it don't work, you know. You have to be Islam. You have to be in Islam for that. And you have to be a Hindu for that, but not Christianity. Christianity, you conform or God show you that I am in charge. That's the message God brought to Pharaoh. Just want to say this in closing. God says, he says, nay, verse 20, nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? You know, as I travel around the world, I often ask the Lord, you know, we are good friends. I speak to the Lord, we're good friends. I said to him, I said, Lord, why was I born in the Caribbean? Yeah? And I heard a man on a plane saying, boy, if I was born rich and had money, I would have my own plane. And that struck me. I said, but why this God didn't make me born somewhere in, you know, the Swiss and overlooking Geneva? You know where the book had, you know? And overlooking, or someplace in Europe. Or born some king in Africa, you know? Or some man who could change the world and leave a history, some form of history on this world. Hey, brethren, God said, that's not for you. That's not for you. Our path is the path of the Apostle Paul, the path of John the Baptist. He must increase. I must decrease. Indeed, the Apostle Paul asked for Saul, but then he became Paul. Little brethren, these are people God can use. Men who lose sight of their interests and the interests of divine persons come to light. God could pick up people like these. But the moment I'm thinking about, I wish I was rich. Why I should have had this. If I had done this. If you had done what and this, that. It means nothing with God. Because God could take the things that are not and make to naught the things that are. God could take something up to nothing. And when you look at a man like Moses. Where you came from, Moses? The backside of the desert. There is where God wants us. And Moses could come out after spending time with God and say, Pharaoh, I came to a point in my life when I said, I refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And there's a lot of young people. There are a lot of old people. And there are a lot of middle-aged people who have not come to that in their Christian experience. I refuse to be identified with the world. I refuse to be identified with the world. I refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I rather suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Because why? He endured a seeing him who is invisible. It's only when you get a good glimpse of Christ. You could leave this world, you know. You could turn your back upon this world and decide to suffer with God's people. Until then, you are going to think this world is attractive. You are going to think, well, oh, Europe is all beautiful. And you will think America is utopia. Indeed, you will think the Caribbean is the best thing. Listen, saints, it's nothing compared with the sight and the glories of Christ. And when you see him, the Apostle Paul give up this world. Men give up this world. And it came to a point in their lives. When he saw that, God says, I'll send him back. And God sent him back to Pharaoh. Because Pharaoh could have said, look what you left. Look what you left. Yeah? Look what you left. And the devil is going to bring that before us constantly. Look what you left. But Moses hadn't only left it physically. He left it spiritually. He left it spiritually. And he came back. And he says, God says, let my people go. Saints, I just want to leave these three things with you. Who are you going to take with you? We're going with our wives, our children, and our substance. Who are you going to take with you? Thirdly, where are you going? Where are you going? And thirdly, remember this. God is in charge. Amen.